Welcome everyone to another episode of BizTalk with Emmanuel. In this episode, I spoke to Jessica Day, the co-founder and chief marketing officer of IdeaScale, and Whitney Bernstein, VP Innovation Strategy and Customer Success, about the connection between idea management and customer experience. In my personal experience with some organization, improving customer experience is largely the responsibility of the sales or the customer service department. During this interview, I was quite intrigued by the fact that some of the best ideas on customer experience doesn't really come from the two departments at all. So, how can idea management improve customer experience? Let's listen into my interview with Jessica Day and Whitney Bernstein on this episode of BizTalk with Emmanuel. Welcome, Jessica and Whitney. It's amazing to have you back in here in the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's fun to be back and check in now, almost a year later.
I know.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's been I think almost a year that we've last spoken in the podcast. So what's been happening on IdeaScale?
Well, IdeaScale is innovation management software that companies use all around the world. And one of the things that's been really interesting about IdeaScale is how people use it. They generally use us to crowdsource ideas from their employees. But one of the interesting things that's been happening is people want to crowdsource more ideas and from different places. So one of the big things that's happened in the past year is that we've acquired a new company called Betterific, which actually is a crowd of 24,000 ideators who can help you ideate from anywhere. One of the other things that we've been working on in the past year that we're really excited about is we have a real passionate IdeaScale for creating positive change, particularly impactful positive change that can get beyond the walls of an organization. And one of the ways that we've tried to make good on that belief as a company is to become carbon neutral. And so that is something we just achieved this month that we're very proud of and is part of our whole system of sort of sustainability values that we have at IdeaScale.
Wow, awesome. That sounds exciting. So I was inspired with one of the blog, and this is why the reason I want to have you back on my podcast is you wrote an article about connecting between idea management and customer experience. So what is idea management and how does it relate to customer experience?
Well, idea management is really kind of what it sounds. It's collecting ideas and then finding ways to organize and manage those ideas to then make choices with them. Whether you make new products or you make changes to how you're doing things around the office. But what's really interesting is we're seeing that one of the key challenges that organizations have, whether that's public sector, nonprofit, or a private enterprise, is this attention that they're focusing on customer experience. How can they improve that or make it richer or deeper? And sometimes they're asking their employees for some ideas around that. Sometimes they're asking elsewhere. It's actually one of the top five issues that our customers work on is finding new ways to impact and improve customer experience.
Right. And how was it done previously, apart from they're asking their employees on what have ideas on improving customer experience? Do they do a survey? Do they actually talk to customer themselves?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of traditional methods that people are familiar with. Like you said, the survey. Focus groups is another one. Sometimes you can hire a consultancy. Sometimes, you're doing kind of persona building based off of some data. But idea management is specific, ideas related to customer experience. There could be many different nuances to that, whether it's, the customer experience using a particular app or the customer experience when they're buying a product. But it's ideas that are specifically related to that, the customer experience.
Okay, so is this something that's new in terms of how we do it, how we're doing it this way now, or has idea management been around for a long time?
I think that in some ways it's a very old concept, getting ideas from a variety of people on how they can address this key concern and this particular interest. But I think the way that we're doing it is changing. And the transparency related to it is totally new, I think. So that anybody can not just suggest an idea, but also validate that idea or volunteer to be a part of making that idea happen. That means that you can ask, you know, as we talked about, our employees, but you can go directly to the customers as well.
Do you have a story on how idea management and innovation impacted customer experience? Maybe one of your clients?
I think Whitney can speak to some of the some of our examples.
Sure, I'd be happy to. One example that I think would be particularly interesting to dive into is one of our clients. It's a hospital system called TriHealth. It's based in the Ohio area. To orient your listeners, it's a system of about six hospitals. It was a six hospital systems, has 800 physicians. It's the fourth largest employer in Cincinnati, and it has about 12,000 team members. So that's a little bit of scale.
Yeah.
So you have a sense of who, you know, who this organization is in terms of size.
Yeah.
So what was really interesting about their approach to crowdsourced innovation was that it was an initiative that was in that was brought to the table by the CEO, championed by the CEO, Mark Clement. And he brought some really interesting data to the table for his team to look at. He said that there's some really important research that shows that highly engaged team members result in a better experience for patients, and that leads to better patient outcomes. And that's kind of hospital lingo, patient outcomes, for, you know, a shorter stay at the hospital, saved lives. So it's really, really impactful. So if your customers are your patients and you can save more lives, that's a pretty big deal. So he brought that to the table and he said, let's do some crowdsourced innovation. And they launched their program in 2016, and their employee engagement score was in the 26th percentile before they launched. And after they launched, their employee engagement score rocketed, skyrocketed up to 74. So their program, so they did a number of things during that time, but they attribute it largely to their idea management program, this jump in employee engagement. And now you might ask, hey, well, really, what implications does that have for the patients, though?
You're saying there was question, this
interesting research, right? Yeah. So there's this interesting research. Were there improved patient outcomes, right? So I can name a couple for you that they shared with us. We were really pleased to hear these. They had the patient experience in ambulatory surgery increased in terms of their score from the 22nd to the 56th percentile. So those patients were having that improved experience in the ambulatory surgery area. There was a significant drop in falls with injuries. So there was a significant drop from 2018 to 2019. So fewer falls in the hospital, which can be a big health issue and a cost to the hospital as well. And then there was also a significant drop in hospital-acquired infections from 20.7 infections per month to 17 infections per month. And across a full year and across a hospital, and when you think about the kind of the scale of the impact infections can have, that was a really big health outcome that they saw. And they summed it up. They basically said, you know, if our team members are engaged in the workplace and they like what they do, our patients are having shorter stays and fewer people are dying. And this is kind of the hard data that they were able to piece together. So I thought that was really impressive. And their idea program was a really big part of engaging their employees. So that's one of the stories for outcomes.
I think what's really interesting about that too is that it's not always like a one-to-one. It's not like every idea in there was like an idea to as a way to reduce hospital acquired infections, but the overall engagement led to those things happening anyways. Some of it was one-to-one, but not all of it was, and it still had those results.
You kind of answer what I had in mind, whether this managing this idea management, the new idea management system, actually contributed more into the employee themselves and have indirect impact to the customer mm-hmm. experience, or does mm-hmm. the ID management actually contribute directly to mm-hmm. To the customer experience itself, mm-hmm. which means mm-hmm. does the feedback the employee has about the customer or about themselves? I don't know if you can share yeah. with us.
So from what I understand and what I know about the program, I think that both are true. What I mean by that is that there are ideas, specific ideas in the system that were for, say, let's implement this new specific technology that will reduce falls. Mm. Perhaps a new walker. We need an updated walker and it's going to save us some money and it'll reduce some falls. That like, let's implement a specific idea like that. But then also what Jessica was saying, which is that those empowered employees, they look around and they say, you know, I can take ownership of this space and the excellence that we can deliver every day. And wow. I feel like a sense of pride, a sense of ownership, and a sense of engagement in the outcomes here. And I think both are at play. And that's what I've understood in talking with the client as well. But I do also encourage your listeners to jump on our website and listen to the presentations. These clients have had told their story themselves. And so you can hear them kind of in their own words relay that.
That's awesome. Well, people usually, when they want to improve customer experience, they're actually looking specifically on the customer themselves, whereas with idea management, you actually look inside how you can improve your external experience. That's really amazing, I think. So is there another example from a different sector that you can yes. share with us?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So now let's shift from the hospital setting to the bank setting. So we work with a credit union. We work with several credit unions, actually, but the one I'm going to share with you today is the Redwood Credit Union. And as most credit unions are, the Redwood Credit Union is deeply dedicated to constantly improving the member experience. And the members mm-hmm. are their customers, right? So they're members of this union, this credit union. And the Redwood Credit Union has been collecting ideas to improve the member experience for years. They started doing this, in fact, kind of in a manual fashion before they engaged IdeaScale. And then they've been working with us for over 4 years now to manage that volume of ideas that they collect. And then this program, the customer experience program and idea management program, has resulted in 70% of the staff who have engaged on the platform. So 70% of the Red Credit Union staff have engaged on the platform and contributed to their challenges and their campaigns centered on improving the member experience. Mm. And their goal was to implement 50 new customer experience ideas, so 50 ideas to improve the customer experience in the first year. And they exceeded that and they implemented over 85. So wow. they kind of set some benchmarks for themselves, some modest benchmarks. And one of the things that's the magic of building programs like this is giving yourself the space to iterate. So setting that goal, let's shoot for 50. Great, we hit 85. How many can we hit the next year? But also following up and saying, okay, great. We've been implementing ideas that are for improving the customer experience. But have we actually improved the customer experience? And one measure you can use for, you know, kind of probing that question is your Net Promoter Score. And they reported to us that they saw a noted improvement in their credit unions or their overall Net Promoter Score after implementing this program and implementing a number of those ideas that they've had. So, and they tie that it also in large part back to their idea program. And we also have a case study that others can kind of read and read up on and get the details. But I thought that was a pretty interesting example of the results kind of coming full circle and tying up with their original intention.
So when you are linking ID management with customer experience, do you need mm-hmm. In your experience, do organization typically starts with the goal of improving customer experience first, or the goal to improve their overall performance through crowdsourcing ideas? which one is typically the driver?
I feel like the Redwood Credit Union example, that's what they did. They were on a mission to improve customer experience. But then the TriHealth experience, they set out to engage their employees and ended up having an impact on their customer experience. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe we see people just setting out to do crowdsourcing, employee engagement, entrepreneurship, and then impacting customer experience. But as I said, it's one of the top five things that people are actively, intentionally going after to solve as well.
Right. So one of these things that I keep coming across recently is to co-create with your customer. So I don't know if this is right up your alley. When it comes to customer experience, is there such thing as customer co-creation? What is customer co-creation?
Yes, there definitely is such a thing. And it's basically a strategy that brings together different groups of people, maybe that are not always typical to creating a new product or a new strategy. And very often those groups of people that you're collaborating with are your customers. And so it's kind of this radical approach to your new product development. So that's when you say, okay, I want to create this new offering or deliver my service in a new way. How about, I wonder who among my customers has ideas on who to do this, or even better, is already working on a way to do this. And it actually, that feeds very nicely into our acquisition of Betterific, because that was actually one of the key use cases for using a service like Betterific, is you can connect directly to your customers. Those kind of barriers between you and your customers can evaporate, and you can actually start developing solutions with the people you're looking to serve.
Do you have any case study or a client example that you can share about co-creation with customer?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of my favorite examples is the Target example. Target ran a few campaigns with Betterific, but one of my favorite challenges they ran was this idea of creating a new dorm room. They wanted to create a different, like a new product line of different things that they could offer to college students who are like moving out of their house for the first time. So things like stuff they'd need for their bathroom, bedding, stuff that they need like in a kitchen, even if they don't have a kitchen, and they essentially asked the question the way they did on many Betterific challenges. My dorm room would be better if. And they got hundreds of ideas in just 2 weeks, and they found 20 finalists. And then when they launched 7 new dorm room products. And the nice thing about it is it's pre-validated. If you're talking to your audience who you're looking to sell, these products back to, what better place to go and look for some of those product ideas?
So out of those 25, do they actually get, they have to manage 25, so 25 finalists, but how many ideas they actually have to manage overall?
I think it was a couple hundred ideas initially, because they were asking for product proposals, and then they narrowed it down to 20 finalists, and then they actually ended up moving forward with 7 new products.
Right.
It's actually it's a similar funnel for a lot of other companies out there. We work with Sterilite, which is like a container company. And they were looking for new storage concepts, and they generated a couple hundred ideas, and about 20% of those ideas were explored and selected for further, research and development. But then they moved forward with filing a patent on one of those.
So going back to the improving customer experience again, does customer co-creation always leads to better customer experience, or there are some cases that that's not the case?
I think there are definitely ways to do it wrong for sure. And one of them is to not like validate through a few rounds of research. It might sound great in the community or on paper, but you might want to see what it looks like in practice, or if you think about what would happen if you start to scale that idea out. So there are definitely missteps that you can make along the way.
And I'm sure the use of idea management software like IdeaScale will help with the validation stage of the customer co-creation.
That's what's so nice about it, is you can invite different people into all of those stages. You can have the customers, participate from the initial point of inspiration, but you can also have them come back and be like, okay, here's the prototype we built. What do you think about this? Or you can come back and ask them later, you know, okay, we've built it. Now what are we going to name it? And then ask them to participate in that. So it can be an ongoing process where you get to reconnect with your customers.
That is awesome. So exciting to see what's happening in, on IdeaScale. So what's next with you guys? Are you going on a global tour or something?
We are headed back to Australia. We've got an office there now, and we're going to check in with our customers and our prospects there. But the other thing that we're doing is we're participating at the Australian Entrepreneur Summit. Mm-hmm. I'll be speaking there. And I think entrepreneurship is a really, really great topic that marries well to customer experience, because I think more and more organizations are focused on this topic, and it's the entrepreneurs that are going to be able to store some of these ideas forward. It requires these internal champions to make some of these changes happen. And so entrepreneurship and customer experience are really well combined. So we'll be participating at that, hosting a few small meetups of our own. And of course, we'll be coming back here for our Open Nation, our global summit in October again this year.
Right, right. So Australia visit in March, because I understand the entrepreneurship summit is in Brisbane in March. Any other cities that you'll be visiting apart from Brisbane and Melbourne in March?
Yes, the following week we'll be in Perth, and we'll be hosting an event in Perth on the 20th, I believe. It's the 26th. I'm sorry. The following week is the 26th in Perth, and then we'll be hosting another event in Melbourne on April 2nd.
Awesome. That sounds like a fun tour around Australia. So So hopefully we'll see you Jessica, and Whitney, both of you here in Australia. And really thankful for this episode, and I hope we get to do this again next year or in a few months time.
That sounds great.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed and find value from the discussion in this episode. Don't forget to leave some comment or write your review on iTunes. I'm really looking forward to hear what you think about this podcast. You can also leave your comment on my Facebook page, BizTalk with Emmanuel. If you have any question about anything we discuss in this episode, feel free to send me a message using the button provided on the page. Until next time.